This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas is facing a water crisis. It's not a future water crisis. I mean, it is a water crisis happening now. We've got rapid population growth, aging infrastructure, years of drought. It's all pushed many of the state's water systems to the brink. The city of Beeville, 90 miles southeast of San Antonio, it has declared a local state of disaster and entered stage 4 water emergency as its primary source, Lake Corpus Christi, has approached critical low levels. This is just one of many communities in the state right now dealing with a lack of water and water quality issues. On the ballot on the November 4th election, and early voting is now underway, is Proposition 4, a constitutional amendment that would dedicate up to $1 billion per year from state sales tax revenue for a newly created Texas Water Development Board administered Texas Water Fund that will be starting in 2027. Jeremy Mazur is with us on the line. He is the Texas 2036 Director of Infrastructure and Natural Resources Policy. And Jeremy, welcome to The Source.
Good afternoon, David. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Proposition 4, I mean, everyone knows we need water and we've got to, it's going to take money to fix the problem. Is this enough money? I mean, I don't, that's my first question. I mean, shouldn't it be $50 billion?
$50 billion would be a good start as well, David. Let's break down the numbers. So Texas 2036 released a report last year that describes what the state of Texas needs to invest to address our two key water infrastructure challenges. The first is the need to expand and diversify our water supply portfolio for a drought-prone and growing state. And the second challenge is the need to address these aging, deteriorating, leaking drinking water and wastewater systems that are really becoming problems to the communities that they serve. Found that the state needs to invest at least $154 billion over the next 50 years towards addressing these issues. Now, this comes back to Proposition 4. As you said, David, it dedicates $1 billion in state sales tax revenues per year to the Texas Water Fund for the next 20 years. That will only amount to up to $20 billion over the next two decades. Does it meet the $154 billion threshold? No, it doesn't. It probably comes short. But with that being said, it represents the first time in state history that the legislature is committing to dedicate state sales tax revenues to a long-term water infrastructure development.
Texans experience nearly 3,000 boil water notices each year. 17% of public water systems are at risk of failure. Recent polling by Texas 2036, that's you, shows 76% of voters support Proposition 4 once they learn that it relies on existing revenue. It's not a new tax. We see the need. We see the availability of funds to fix this. Yet we see groups like the Texas Policy Research Group. They oppose Proposition 4, saying that while it addressing water infrastructure is vital, they think that this should actually be a private sector solution and not a government solution. So, can you respond to that?
Well, traditionally, the public sector has been the leader when it comes to water infrastructure development in Texas. Your major reservoirs, your municipal drinking water system, your wastewater treatment, all of these water resources and all this water infrastructure is being administered by the public sector. And we have to give the public sector credit for developing the infrastructure that we need to reach it to here. A lot of the economic growth and development and population growth that we've been able to absorb in Texas has been accommodated thanks to the investments of the public sector. So there may be an argument that perhaps the private sector may be a viable alternative to public sector investment, but we haven't seen many examples of where the private sector has eclipsed the public sector when it comes to developing, delivering, and operating the water infrastructure we need, especially on a regional basis, for continued economic growth and development.
Yeah, if you're private sector, private capital, there are ways to make more money than investing in rural water systems?
I mean, that's conceivable. I mean, there may be, that capital may want to pursue more profitable opportunities. But, you know, we also need to be open to, you know, so we talked earlier how this $20 billion in dedicated revenue will likely fall short of meeting the $154 billion in long-term financial need over the next 50 years. But, you know, that $20 billion can be leveraged with existing state bond authority to underwrite a greater portion of water infrastructure projects. But we also might want to think about the idea of public-private partnerships, where public money can work in hand-in-hand with private sector money to develop and deliver infrastructure projects that we need moving forward. And I think that's another way we can perhaps look at leveraging the expertise and capital in the private sector to developing the water supply projects and infrastructure upgrades we need for a growing state.
The phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Have you made up your mind on how you're going to vote on Proposition 4, a $20 billion fund for Texas water development? Give us a call, 833-877-8255. So, Jeremy Mazur, how is this fund going to be used? How is it going to be creating new water sources? We need new water. Or will it be used talking about these infrastructure problems that are not working out very well? Water quality is also being talked about for flood systems. I mean, how is this going to be used?
Well, I think there's essentially three buckets that's probably an easy way to conceptualize for your listeners on how this money will be used. The first is that at least 50% of this dedicated revenue stream from Proposition 4 will be used for water supply projects. And David, in Texas, when you talk about water supplies, it's a big subject that could be permitted reservoirs or groundwater wells, desalination of seawater or brackish groundwater, water recycling or reuse, water conservation, even expanding the treatment capacity of our drinking water treatment plants that we need to provide clean, fresh water to growing communities. That also sometimes qualifies as a water supply project. So the legislature passed Senate Bill 7 earlier this year that requires that at least 50% of these dedicated revenues go to water supply projects, the first bucket. Now, that means that a remaining portion, 50% or less of the dedicated revenues, those monies can go to flood protection projects, like you described in your question, but it also can be used to fix or rehabilitate these aging, deteriorating drinking water and wastewater systems are really becoming problems. When we look at the data, we see that Texas drinking water systems are so old and so fragile that they leak over 572,000 acre feet of water per year. And David, for comparison, that's enough water to fill a major storage reservoir every year. And so the condition of our drinking water and wastewater systems is becoming so precarious that we really need to make some investments in the upgrades and rehabilitation needed to bring them up to standard and not waste and leak our water. And so those are the three buckets that this revenue can be used for. One, water supplies, which we definitely need given we're a drought-prone and growing state. Two, flood protection, which is certainly important after the disaster we saw in the Hill Country this summer. And the third state bucket is going to be used for fixing aging, deteriorating, and leaking water systems. And those, I think the legislature did a great job in terms of prioritizing where these state investments should go in the future.
Let's go to a caller. We have Lewis. And Lewis, you're on the air.
So, yes. So why is it that the 10th largest economy in the world, bigger than Russia, bigger than Mexico, can't do what those countries do? And let me make another point.
What do they do?
They have water. They have a hospital, free education, public. They do all the things that we say we can't do. And there's another thing. The $17 trillion, whatever it was supposed to be, the from tariffs. If there's that $17 trillion of tariffs, which is the combined GDP of the next five lower below China GDPs. Why is it they? Why can't we use that tariff money to supply the things America needs, like Texas water?
Okay. All right, Lewis. So the tariff, that's something that that's a different thing. So why is this a unique problem for Texas?
I think here, Texas, it is a very unique problem for Texas. I mean, there's a couple factors that we need to keep in mind when we're talking about our water future. First, let's talk about population growth. It's been well known that the state has been growing over the past few decades. More people are coming to Texas. They're not bringing their water with them. At the same time, we've seen Texas families get bigger. So that population growth is certainly going to increase our water demands. Second, we've seen this thing called the Texas economic miracle, where these economic sectors in the state, which include manufacturing, energy, space explorations, even data centers and information technology, to name a few, all of these sectors are growing, and they require water in order to be successful. So we're seeing that because of this Texas economic miracle, that's also driving some of the demand for water. Then on top of that, we are a drought-prone state. That is part of the Texas experience. If you've lived in Texas for 1 year, 5, 10, or a lifetime, you've gone through a drought. You know what happens. And so given these challenges where population and economic growth are increasing our water demands and the prospect of drought is going to diminish our available water supplies, it's noble that the state is proposing a financial strategy that lets Texas pull itself up by its bootstraps.
Okay, so I got to take a break here. We'll talk more about that. It's a Proposition 4. Voting is now underway. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Tired of spending so much time and money on vehicle maintenance and repairs? Make this October Cartover when you donate a car, truck, or RV to TPR. Visit tpr.careasy.org or call 877-486-1227 to get started.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Proposition 4 on the ballot for November 4th. Early voting now happening talks about a constitutional amendment that would dedicate $20 billion from state sales tax revenue for a newly created Texas Water Development Board-administered Texas Water Fund. It would be starting in 2027. We need that now because we have communities really struggling with lack of water and water quality issues. Jeremy Mazur is with us. He is the Texas 2036 Director of Infrastructure and Natural Resources Policy. Jeremy, earlier you told me about three buckets. Was conservation a bucket?
David, when we talk about the three buckets of water infrastructure, water supply, infrastructure upgrades, and flood protection, conservation oftentimes falls in the water supply bucket. And so that water conservation and water reuse is a really smart way that water planners are thinking about, you know, expanding the utility of the precious water molecules that we have available in our hot and dry state.
Well, I would argue that conservation should be the first bucket. It's the cheapest, most easiest water situation that we have is the one that we don't use. Fixing the leaky pipes, but also helping people use less water, and it's really got to be the go-to, the cheapest solution and the quickest solution. But also, as Texas is looking, we have a water crisis, we have Prop 4, we need $20 billion. At the same time, the state is recruiting so many water-intense industries to move to Texas, including AI and cryptocurrency and things like that. They use a lot of water. More and more all the time is staggering how much more. So, and the state is not doing anything to require these facilities to adopt water conservation measures. You know, they could do that. Other states have done that, but Texas is not. So, you know, you're asking the voters to approve this, and I think it's a good idea, but at the same time, shouldn't we be doing more? to require these companies to use less water?
I think when you look at the, I think you do a very good point of highlighting the need to prioritize water conservation. And when you look at the water laws that the legislature has approved, you can clearly see that there's this emphasis on water conservation. And it's precisely for the same reason that you're talking about, David, where is the cheapest way to expand and preserve your water supply. Your question is, well, if we have all these water-intensive industries moving to Texas, will or should the legislature do anything to encourage or require that they enhance their water conservation practices? I didn't see that come up this past legislative session, and certainly it may be something that the legislature will want to talk about moving forward. I think the legislature's interest here is making the strategic investments the state needs for continued economic growth and development. And the state has already done that with regard to workforce development, broadband deployment, and even the electric grid. And I think this session, the legislature connected the dots between what reliable water infrastructure means for providing a firm foundation for continued economic growth and development.
Let's go to a caller. Jennifer is on the line. Jennifer, you're on the air.
Hi. In years past, we owned a property just outside of Brockport, Texas. It was served by a private water supplier, Holiday Beach, which went bankrupt. So the source of water became unreliable, and it took years for the TCEQ to come in and correct the problem and get a new water supplier, private water supplier. And in the meantime, property values plummeted. So hard to sell something when you don't have water. Lesson to Texans is we should support Prop 4. Prop 4 is the first time the legislature has moved forward on a water issue, and I strongly support it because lesson learned, you don't want to go through this. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Jennifer. Great story. She supports Prop 4. Do you want to react to that, Jeremy?
I think Jennifer's story is a sobering reminder about why Proposition is so important. And I want to thank Jennifer for taking the time to call in. The reason Jennifer supports Proposition 4 is why so many other communities across the state, including chambers of commerce from across Texas, are supportive of Proposition 4 because they recognize what reliable, consistent water infrastructure means for not only their continued growth and development, but also their survival.
Yes, and but you know, as Texans are being asked to vote for Proposition 4, I do wonder about transparency, how this $20 billion fund would be administered. Will it be just sucked up by all the big urban areas? How do we make sure that, you know, small communities are not forgotten about?
Yeah, David, your question hits an issue right on the head. The great deal, the good news about transparency with Proposition 4 is that the legislature passed Senate Bill 7 that requires that the Water Development Board, this is the agency that's going to be responsible for administering the Texas Water Fund, it requires that the Water Development Board post data that describes not only where this money is going, but also the extent to which this money is working towards solving our long-term water infrastructure challenges. How much water supplies are we building? How many aging or failing drinking water systems are we fixing? On top of that, the legislature has also instructed that the Water Development Board make sure that a portion of these monies certainly go to these small and mid-sized cities, as well as prioritize agricultural water conservation. So it's reasonable to ask the question, well, could this funding just be hoovered up by Houston, San Antonio, or Dallas? The good news is that the legislature's included some transparency reporting requirements, as well as some distribution requirements applicable to the Texas Water Fund that'll make sure that these monies are equally distributed and shared across Texas.
So will Prop 4 affect Texans' household water bills?
Prop 4 itself will not. It's to be clear, Proposition 4 only uses existing state sales tax revenues in order to create this dedicated revenue stream to the Texas Water Fund. It doesn't increase the state sales tax revenue rate, which is 6.25%, or otherwise increase taxes. In fact, these monies can be used to help cities and water districts build the water infrastructure or fix the water infrastructure that they need. And so what I would say, in some cases, you can perhaps see that Proposition 4's revenues will work to lower the long-term financial burden that some communities will face when it comes to maintaining the water infrastructure.
Let's go to a caller, Bob. And Bob, you're on the air.
Hi, I just want to mention, this is ridiculous, the water that's consumed for grass. I mean, my neighbors all have these lush lawns. They're consuming 20 to 30,000 gallons a month, and it's going nowhere except to look green. I mean, there are alternatives. They could put in artificial grass. I even painted my grass green, and you can blend the colors in so it looks like it, and it'll last for 3 months for $14. I mean, this is crazy to just keep building more homes and putting more and more sod down and consuming all this water.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see if you have an alternative.
Good point there, Bob. So will there be any money for education of the public about how we need to do better with our water? I mean, the number one cash crop in Texas is front lawn grass.
Yeah, see, we're the number one grower of St. Augustine grass here in Texas. Bob raises a great issue. And David, to your question, does Prop 4 provide for any public education? Yes, it does, because in 2023, the legislature also passed another major water bill, Senate Bill 28, that created the statewide water awareness program. And this program can be funded by the Texas Water Fund that this $1 billion per year can go into. And so this statewide water awareness program is supposed to, you know, start sharing more information to Texans across the state about why water is so unique and valuable in the Texas context. And so I don't think it'll necessarily tell people, like, you know, hey, you shouldn't water your lawn, but it'll go towards more civic education on why water is a precious resource and why it's so precious it should be conserved when necessary. I appreciate you calling in, Bob, to share that perspective.
So I doubt this will happen, but what happens if the voters do reject Prop 4? What happens to communities already running out of water?
Well, if voters don't pass Proposition 4, I think the state's going to be up a proverbial creek.
A dry creek.
We have, a dry creek. It's we have our water infrastructure challenges aren't going away. Even if there's a major hurricane that comes in and, God forbid, fills up our reservoirs, you know, the drought can come and turn on a dime. On top of that, we still have these aging, deteriorating systems that are either running low on water, like you said in Beeville, or just flat out failed their communities, like we saw in East Texas and Zavala. So if we don't approve Proposition 4, it doesn't forestall the problems that are going to come. And it's cheaper to make these investments today so we don't have to pay a premium to solve them in the years to come.
Well, we're running out of time, but we should just mention the fact that we are dealing with climate change. The state of Texas refuses to admit that it's a real thing. But, you know, we got to deal with the fact that we're longer, drier droughts, and we need more water. So Jeremy Mauser, Texas 2036 Director of Infrastructure and Natural Resources Policy, thanks for coming on the air talking about Prop 4.
Thanks for having me, David.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies, thanks for listening.
The
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.